afternoon, and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. The weather, hey, have you? It gets you good. It gets you moving. I done one thing. It'll make you put on long pants when you take the dog out to the bathroom in the morning.
Yes, it will.
Right, Mike?
Or at least a pair of sweatpants.
Pair of sweatpants.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome in. It's going to be a great show. Michael Silverman from the Local Hiker is in here with me, and we're going to talk about hiking.
Yeah, and everything thereabouts.
Going to be a great show, because you know what next Saturday is, Mike.
Yeah.
It's not sarcastically either.
Right, yes.
It is National
Take a Hike Day. Yeah. Yeah, and everybody should get out. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
Go take a hike. It's not, we're not trying to be rude about it.
No. No, we're not telling you to go jump off a cliff or...
Off a cliff or...
Short.
Jump into a lake or whatever.
Yeah. Take a long walk off a short cliff.
Yeah,
like
go
that.
Take a hike.
This is taking a hike. This is getting out there. And you and I were talking earlier. There is so much research coming out there about the beneficial aspects of being outside.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's one thing us hikers appreciate is the fact that we can decompress, and being in the woods gives you that opportunity. And, you know, people enjoy it in different ways, whether they're hunting or fishing or hiking. It's an opportunity to decompress, and it's medicinal.
Yeah, it is. Of course, hiking is probably more medicinal than hunting.
Yeah, hunting can be a little stressful.
You'd be amazed at how many people have heart attacks.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm probably A1 candidate number one over here, because I'm sedentary for a lot of times, and I get out and it's, you know, sudden rush of adrenaline and stuff like that. But hiking, boy, I tell you, you get out there, you're out in nature, it's decompression, it's you're elevating your heart rate for that extended period of time.
Yep.
And it's that stress relief.
Yeah. Well, the stress relief, you know, depending on if you're going for a few days, you might be carrying a little bit of weight, provides a little exercise, up and down, a little bit of elevation gain, provides a little cardio. It's, you're enjoying the environment and getting a little exercise all at the same time. So it's really an overall health environment.
Yeah, that's great. So the calendar for this week, brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pine Landing Event Center, is Take a Hike Saturday.
Please do.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to cover some safety tips that everybody needs to kind of follow when they go out hiking. Okay. We're going to touch a little bit on Leave No Trace.
Yep, very important aspect of being outdoors.
Absolutely, which essentially boils down to don't leave anything that you take in and don't take anything you don't
take in. Right. The general oversight principle is leave only footsteps, yep. Take only pictures.
So,
right.
We like to take pictures.
Yeah.
And then 10 essentials of hiking, which is where we're going to get a little deep, because we got stuff strewn all over the studio.
Yes, we do. I brought the goodie bag.
Two goodie bags.
I did. Yeah. Well, one's a day pack, one's a backpack, but yep. We'll get further into that rabbit hole once we get down that way.
And y'all excuse if we do rabbit trail. We sit down here, start off one subject, and ended up with helicopters, because Michael's a mechanic and a crew chief on a Lakota.
Yep. Here in the South Carolina Army National Guard, based at Donelson Center.
And come to find out, I was up on Lake Jocassee taking a harbor tour, and they were up there doing some rescue operation stuff. So,
sure enough.
It's really cool. In fact, I think one time your wife had to fill in for you because you had to go offline somewhere.
I'm sure she has. She's just
she
as competent. Yeah, she's just as competent, if not more capable than I am. So,
I've enjoyed my relationship with you guys. Really have.
And we appreciate the opportunity. We always have a good time with you.
Absolutely. So, like I said, the calendar for this week is not going to be any barbecue cook-offs or oyster roasts or, you know, DU banquets or anything. It's take out and get a hike. And we're gonna start into that. But, yeah, the weather's right. And the fall is probably the best time to go, because it doesn't – the clothes today negate that old having to wear so much clothes that you sweated and you got – you know, the clothes today are incredible.
Yeah, the clothes today are super lightweight, super capable, functional – in the outdoors. It's amazing what they've done, what technology in the outdoor industry has designed and developed to design for comfort and for capability.
Yeah, and we're going to cover a lot more of that. So let's jump into it. I mean, there's no reason to delay the inevitable. We're going to talk about hiking today from the beginner to the experience, what you need. Because a lot of people, you know, you're looking at the cover of Outside Magazine or Backpacker Magazine, and I've never looked at it this way, but I've had people say, you know, I have a cover of Outdoor Life and there's a guy on there and he's hunting. How do I get from where I am at my desk or on my lounge chair
to being
that guy? That's what we're going to do.
Yep.
We're going to take him through it. All right. So, and you just jump in here and take it, but 8 hiking safety tips. And it's funny when we were comparing notes, we had the same things laid out here.
We sure did. Yeah, and, which is good. It means, yeah, great minds think alike. I agree. Yes. So, you know, everybody knows that we have our basic needs when you're at home, in and around the house. You've got shelter, food, and water. Those are basic needs. When you're delving into the outdoors, whether it's hiking or whatever it is you're doing, but let's focus on hiking.
Sure.
There's needs there, and that's where the 10 essentials come in. Even from the novice to the experienced backpacker, the 10 essentials are definitively important to have, only because even a good day hike can turn into a bad situation.
Sure.
You need to be prepared, right?
Sure.
The old scout motto is to be prepared. But 8 hiking safety tips. Make a gear list. Well, the reason you're going to make a gear list, and this is a malleable list, it's just like anybody who develops their profession. You want to be able to modify and what we call is hike your hike, right?
Okay.
So you want to start this list and you'll go out on a hike and you'll be like, oh man, I should have had this or I didn't need that. You know, that list is for you to modify as you go along to help develop, to create a safety environment for you for stuff that you know you should have had, right?
And that is so true. I mean, I won't jump in here and interrupt you too many
times. Please do.
But having done some high elk hunts out in Colorado where we backpack in for a week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're here packing in South Carolina.
Yep.
And I mean, you're going to 60, 70 pound packs and your gun and your two pair of boots and all. And you get out there and half that stuff never comes out of the backpack.
That's right. Yeah.
And you come back going, holy smoke, next time I go out there, well, what do? You didn't make a list that time. So the next time you take the same exact stuff and you end up the same. So that is a huge part.
Yeah.
Of making that list is to make you can adjust that thing to exactly what you need.
Right. It makes you more efficient within your own capabilities.
Okay.
Right? It's a development thing. And then, of course, bring a map. You know, the last thing you want to do is jump off into the woods willy-nilly. You know, everybody uses willy-nilly. It's a bad place to be, right?
Yep.
Bringing a map. The maps nowadays are amazing. Nat Geo and the Foothills Trail and all those other groups they've developed maps that are fantastically easy to read and to utilize. They're waterproof, developed on a paper that's not going to get all destroyed if you have to take it in and out of your pack and the water, you know, water ends up falling on you while you're out there.
Yep.
You know, maps are imperative to have.
So you think you're recommending a regular map rather than something you pull up on your phone because you might not have that coverage on
right. Yeah, not only will you may not have your coverage, the batteries could die, you could certainly use a geographical range, all those things. I mean, a phone's a tool for a lot of people.
Okay.
But you can use it as a primary, but I would always have a map as a secondary.
I agree.
You know, in my opinion, the map's my primary.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Hike during the day, right? Night hiking is probably a bad idea, right? Unless you're experienced and you tentatively have to hike a little bit at night or in the dark to get to where your next point is. That comes with experience and time spent on the trail. So I would say hiking at day is probably the smartest move to make. I would start early in the morning. That way you can wrap things up and it doesn't turn south too quickly for you.
You plan that hike according to the time you estimate it's going to take you to
complete. That's exactly right. Yep, leave accordingly. You know, I'll just throw something in. Always make sure that somebody knows where you're at. Always, always, always leave a note at your house or for a friend of the family or a spouse, whatever the case may be. Let them know where you're going to be, departure time, when your expected return is, right? So that's just kind of a little caveat in there.
Probably wouldn't hurt to throw something on the dash of your car went to the trailhead, too.
No, that's a great point.
My name is Roger Metz. I'm going to be at
XYZ.
Plan
Should
to be back here by 6 o'clock.
Yep.
If this still's hitting there at midnight, please go find somebody.
Or find me one, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we're running right up here against the break.
Yeah.
Let's.
Well, that takes us up to number
three.
We'll move into number four when we get back.
After the break, we'll tell you number four. So hang on through the break. More Woods and Water with Michael Silverman, local hiker, when we get back.
Excellent.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Here talking hiking, because next Saturday is Take a Hike Day. And we're making our way through the list of 8 hiking safety tips. take off. We're number four here.
We're on number four. Next one's know the area. Kind of lines up with the map. We talked about a map earlier. So study the map. You know, even travel to the trailhead. Know where it is you're going so you're not putting yourself against a timeline crunch or creating an opportunity for mishaps, right? So know the area. Be familiar with where the surroundings. Maybe pick a park that's well-established.
Sure.
You know, for a start, you know, and as opposed to just kind of randomly pulling up to a trailhead that has a little gravel or dirt parking lot that you're not real familiar with, something that's maybe a little more frequented, something to, you know, kind of soak your feet.
And that could be your South Carolina State Parks.
Oh, yeah.
They've all got some kind of trails around them. You know, you got to normally have a ranger on. It closes at dark, so if you're still there when the gates close, he knows there's something wrong.
Yep, and they're going to come for you.
Perfect place to start.
Yep, great place to start. And the like I said, trailheads and trails are usually marked rather well.
Yeah.
Not always the case when you start developing your skills and going into different trail environments, but the state parks are usually pretty well established.
Talking about the look of a trailhead, that differs a lot from summertime to wintertime.
Oh, without a doubt. You can hike the same hike in the summer, spring, go back in the fall, winter, and it looks completely different. So you can use the same trails twice in a year and see different things, which makes the several hundred miles of trails we have here in the upstate even more usable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can use the same trail twice in a year without any issue.
Yeah.
And see different things every time.
Yep,
it's beautiful.
It is.
Check the forecast, right?
Weather.
Yeah, weather. if you're going to be a little rambunctious and know the weather could come, please be prepared.
Sure.
Be prepared for the weather. Have the capability to protect yourself, protect your gear. But I would say if the weather looks like it's going to go bad, just choose another day. Yeah, just choose another day. And better to be safe than smart. Sorry, because, you know, right, we are talking about safety tips. So
sure.
I'd rather be safe than sorry at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Be confident, not cocky. So there's... You know, we were talking about this earlier, right? Aircraft maintenance, right?
Sure, yeah, willy-nilly.
The willy-nilly. You know, the cockiest guy on the aircraft is probably the most dangerous mechanic to have around you.
Exactly right.
Kind of goes the same in the woods. Don't be – know that you are a very small pawn on a very large chessboard. And just know your place. Be respectful of that place. And don't go beyond your own capability, you know.
Mother Nature is very unforgiving.
Oh yeah, she doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't take you into account for nothing. Usually, more often than
not at all. So. Well, you're in her backyard. In other words,
without a doubt, respect it. Respect
yep.
the respect the opportunity, and you'll come out okay.
There you go.
Yep. Tell someone before you go. We kind of talked about that earlier, right? Tell someone before you go. Put something on the dash, which was a great addition to the safety tips. And, of course, stay together. So this kind of operates on the premise of buddy system, right?
Okay.
You should always have a hiking partner, whether that's your wife or your son or your daughter or just a friend. I think there's safety in numbers simply because the situation may go south. One person may have the ability to stay calm while the other one doesn't, and you'll balance each other out. It'll at the end of the day, there's safety in numbers. There's,
sure.
You know, you don't have to say it enough times. It is what it is, right?
And one in here that I didn't see is that I've always read, or I've always, when I printed off these lists, they've always come up, is stay on the trails.
Stay on the trails, yep. And that kind of leads into, our next topic of discussion, which is leave no trace. Staying on the trails keeps you safe, keeps everybody around you safe, and keeps the area beautiful.
Yep,
right?
That's right.
Yep, definitely.
We're at the corn maze down at Denver Downs. Never been down there, went down there the other day, and there's no concept of staying on trails down there.
Everything's just
I mean, it's a corn stalk.
Blaze your own trail, yeah. Do what you got to do, right?
Oh, me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, there were a lot of man-made trails up there at Denver Downs this past weekend.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, so we'll lead on into leave no trace. So, leave no trace principle has actually expanded its foundation, which its original foundation was basically to practice the seven primary principles in and around the woods while you're hiking, backpacking, camping, whatever the case may be. So you can, so the generations behind you can enjoy what you're getting to enjoy, right? You leave your trash and you don't dispose of waste properly. It eventually starts trashing the environment, and people coming behind you can't enjoy it.
Sure.
So they've expanded that not only to the trails in the United States of America, but expanded it to your own backyard.
Sure.
You know, because eventually you may not be living there, and somebody else may move in with their children and want to enjoy the same environment. Yeah. So it's expanded beyond the trail capacity or the mindset to, you know, if you leave no trace in your own backyard, do the best you can to leave what's there for the next generation.
And that's where your camera comes in to play.
Whether it's
on your phone, a point and shoot, a DSLR, a video camera, because that's something you can take in with you.
Yep.
And you can bring back as much as possible. I mean, you cannot.
You're limited to capacity, but I mean.
But you can't bring back, Alaska.
Right.
You know, you can't bring back what it's like
to be in the environment.
To stand there and look at Denali. You just, Mount McKinley, you can't do it.
Yep.
The picture's pretty, but being there.
Right.
But the thing you can do with the picture is you can lure everybody else
into
what you do.
That's right.
Because you bring them back to the picture and say, hey, look, this is what you can do out there, and this is what you can do. And they get interested, and then they have to go experience it for themselves.
I agree. And I think that, passing off that opportunity to other people is a healthy sharing thing. So
that sharing is it. I was just fixing to say, because when you go do this stuff, you want to share it with people.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's people at work, family, you know, it's all about sharing.
And if it gets them outdoors, then the better for it, right?
It's called mentoring.
That's right. I agree. All right, so the seven principles of Leave No Trace, and we'll kind of just touch on them. Of course, we'll expand on those as we roll through.
Sure.
Plan ahead and prepare. That, you know, kind of luck. Let me caveat this whole thing that says all of these principles and tips and the 10 essentials, you'll kind of see that they kind of all bind and tie together. It's kind of like a hiking quilt, if you will, to some extent, because they all tie back to one another one way or another. And it's important to realize that, because once you expand beyond what your narrow focus is to see the broader picture of what hiking can be for you, everything kind of, it falls into place and makes sense.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Plan ahead and prepare kind of goes back to the maps. Know your area. Mm-hmm. Hike with a partner. And I would say, if you're going to do that, you mentioned mentoring. I think mentoring is an awesome opportunity to take somebody who hasn't been in the woods or fishing or hunting and mentor them into that opportunity. So now the novice is learning something from somebody who has some experience in that environment, and you're teaching the proper way to do things, the ethical way to do things, and it definitely is something for kind of ties into the plan ahead and prepare.
Sure.
You bring somebody with you.
Yeah.
Travel and camp on durable surfaces. Well, that's kind of, basically don't jump off the trail and mush a bunch of flowers to set your tent up.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Stay on the trail. You mentioned staying on the trail. A lot of these areas, the Foothills Trail is a great example. It's a 77-mile stretch from OSP, Oconee State Park, up to Table Rock.
Yeah.
Beautiful trail.
Yep.
Fantastic trail. They do a great job. The Foothills Trail folks do a fantastic job. All volunteers maintain that trail. There are areas that are definitively set for you to camp. There's a couple areas where you can make fire.
Right.
And fire is always a cold-out situation. Don't leave it any other way. It's always cold out, right?
Yep.
Hand over it, make sure it's cold out. And that helps, once again, keep the area pristine. We don't want to damage the area. We want to make sure that area all along the Chattooga is beautiful and ready for the next group of folks who want to enjoy it.
One of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It is.
Dispose of waste properly. So this kind of jumps into all sorts of different things. Waste can go from the food containers and or bags that you have left after you've prepared your food to the waste that your food produces.
Right. Yep.
Right. One way or another. And there's definite ways that are made to handle that, right? And there's rules affiliated with your waste on the trail, you know, no better way to put it. You know, nobody wants to walk up on on your disaster, right? After you've had some green curry. So nonetheless, it is what it is. Make sure you dispose of your waste properly. Leave what you find, which is basically, don't go in there and pick a bunch of flowers and take a bunch of stuff from Mother Nature. It's hers in the first place. You'll be there and enjoy it. And if somebody else wants to enjoy it, don't bring it back for them. Tell them about it so they can go.
They can go.
Yep. Yeah. Pictures.
Right? Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Pictures.
minimize campfire impacts. Like I said, so when it says minimize campfire impacts, my perspective or my thought process on that is, while you're on the trail, don't go developing your own fire rings. You know, sometimes there are places where fires are authorized or allowed. Always make sure you check and make sure if you can or cannot build campfires in and around the trails you're utilizing, because some trails have very specific rules. Yep. You know, it's kind of like plan ahead and prepare. You know what you're getting into.
A lot of it depends on your weather,
too. A lot of it depends on your race, right? That's exactly
when
right.
When there's a fire ban in effect, you don't want to be out there building a campfire.
Don't be that guy.
That's right.
Or that girl, for that matter.
That's
don't be that person building a fire in a fire ban.
That's it.
So, I would say if there's not a fire ring, or if it's even on an authorized trail, let's say some areas of Foothills Trail allow fires, if there is not a fire ring, don't go grabbing a bunch of stuff and moving it and making your own fire ring. You know, you should have camped to the spot where the fire was authorized and somebody had a fire ring.
Yep. Otherwise, and normally when you're out there on the trail, somebody has been there before,
yeah,
and there is a place to build a fire already.
Yep.
There.
Yep, that's
just
exactly
pick
right.
That spot to camp in.
That's exactly right. Yep, share it with others. Do whatever you got to do. They're there just to enjoy it, just like you are, right?
So that's right.
Respect wildlife. Basically, don't play with the critters, right? You know,
we see this all the time. Yellowstone, the guy getting trampled by the elk, the
yep.
guy getting butted by the, you know, those things are wild, and that goes back to how far removed we are from being out there.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's,
we think, oh, that's a cuddly Taylor in Alaska. I want to see a bear day. I want to see a bear day. They're so cute and cuddly. So, you know, first day on the Russian River,
yeah,
there's a bear. I said, go hug him, Taylor. No, I think I'll stay
over
here.
I'm good right here.
I see the bear, but that's okay.
That's good for me.
Within reason.
Yeah.
Wildlife is wild.
Without a doubt.
And the more interaction humans have with that wildlife, the less natural fear they have of humans,
right,
whether it be cars or you or food that
yep.
you feed them, stuff like that. Very critical thing when you're out there.
Which could be very bad for you.
Or somebody that follows you.
That's exactly right. So,
all right, we only got one more left to go, but we're going to take a break. Bottom of the hour here. We're going to finish up this Leave No Trace. We're going to get into the 10 essentials of hiking. We get to play with stuff now.
Start playing with the gear.
So hang on through the break. Back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina, on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, here with Michael Silver from the local hiker in Spartanburg. And, dude, we're moving on down the trail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at a rapid pace.
Pun. like we got somewhere to go. We do. We have a deadline. Time. Going back to respect wildlife.
Yep.
You know, we're talking about it, and we kind of giggle because of the people out in Yellowstone and all that. Every year it happens. But even here in South Carolina, there are certain things. Look, if you don't know what it is, leave it alone. And snakes.
Snakes.
We
do have poisonous snakes here in the upstate.
And there are a lot of non-poisonous snakes and poison snakes that look a lot alike.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it is, leave it alone.
Just don't mess with them.
We have a burgeoning elk population in North Carolina.
We actually had
one bull come over into Pickens County twice last year. So, yeah, and when you go into Cataluche Valley, which I did, you know, those elk they're used to those cars and all. But those fields are closed.
Yeah.
Elk are in those fields. You don't go in those fields. You stay on the road. Stay in your car. So don't look at the cute cuddlies. As a cute cuddly.
That's right. It is still a wild animal.
And it will turn on you in a hurry.
Yeah.
If it feels threatened.
Yeah, if it feels threatened, it'll put a hurting on you. 1,200-pound elk, it won't feel good at the end of the day.
It will not feel good.
Yeah. And black bears. We've got black bears.
That's exactly right.
I mean, we've got black bears that'll... You've seen it on the news, mm-hmm, running through Spartanburg County,
absolutely,
through populated areas. So, I mean, they're out and about, you know.
You know, and I think we might get into this. I mean, I might get me ahead of myself here, but when we talk about wildlife and all, and no, I'm not running. Something that's often overlooked in hiking is be quiet.
Well, that actually touches right on the last principle of the Leave No Trace.
Okay. Well,
right.
Let's
jump right into it, because it's.
I was looking too far ahead.
You were. You were already there. You're don't warp zone us.
No. Don't do that.
Be considerate of other visitors. That's exactly what you're thinking, yeah, right? So don't be the noisy guy on the trail, and don't be the guy who disrupts somebody's peaceable enjoyment their campsite or their fly fishing opportunity. Because as you're hiking in and around river bottoms, there's guys that are fly fishing. You don't want to be noisy. The guy's just trying to enjoy. And he may not even want to catch fish, but he wants to be out there and enjoy that peace and quiet.
In the quiet, listening to the river.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And you'd be amazed how much more wildlife. If you're really going out there to see what's out there,
yep.
The quieter you are, the more wildlife
you'll see.
Yep. And that's where the binoculars come into account, the staying quiet, watching where you're walking.
Yep.
That's the part, because it's like you're sneaking into their world.
Yep. Yeah, you're
a
guest.
That's a fun thing.
Yeah, you're a guest. Appreciate the opportunity.
So be considerate. Not only the wildlife, but your other
the other hikers.
The other people out there.
Yeah, the people out there on the trail just trying to enjoy themselves or you know, a nice walk in the woods or, you know, they've got their family at the campsite. It's, you know, be considerate of their environment, too. You know, you're sharing the same space to some extent.
On the same note, if you're going down the trail and your kids are wide open and stuff like that, most people, when they see a small kid running down screaming bloody murder and they're having a good time, they smile because they understand what's happening right
there. Right, yeah, they get it.
So if you're a parent, you got small kids, let them be kids out there. Everybody understands.
Yep.
But within reason.
Within reason.
Within
reason. Yeah, don't let them go running up and down the trail with sticks beating the people up and down the trail. It'd be a bad thing to do, right? Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, if they're getting that way, you probably ought to turn the stick on them.
Yeah, that's
what we call it, a switch in South Carolina.
Right? Yeah, a switch.
Yeah.
Did your mother ever send you outside for a switch when you were growing up?
No, I grew up in slightly north of South Carolina, and my mom's switch was a wooden spoon.
Every once in a while, mom would have me go get my own switch. And you try to limber that thing up, you know?
Yeah, so it doesn't hurt so much.
Not a good move.
Yeah, that's probably the worst thing to do.
Oh, yeah. She'd done that to her mom. Okay, like I said, rabbit trail all we want to.
Yeah.
All right, this is the good stuff.
This is where we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of things. So this is, you know, while the safety and the principles of Leave No Trace are imperative and important for you to understand, for you to know, and know that they exist, do a little bit of homework, kind of get yourself situated. The 10 essentials is, like I said, from the novice to the experienced backpacker.
Okay.
You know, you got to have them. And it's only because at any point in time, a good hike can go bad, right? You got to be prepared. It's no different than sitting in traffic. Somebody can rear end you. You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
And when you're out there in nature and you need something, you really need
it. It's already too late.
That's exactly right.
It's already too late. You're better off having it. These aren't in any particular order.
Okay.
I mean, I'm probably in the same order you are off of our notes.
I'll follow your lead.
Yep. Appropriate footwear. So let's talk about footwear real quick. So boots and boots or trail shoes, depending on the type of hiking that you're doing. Depending on the trail that you're going to be on, depending on the length of time you're going to be hiking. Because, you know, when we talk about the 10 essentials, like I said, it applies to the novice. It applies to the experienced backpacker. You know, both provide proper support and protection for the foot, breathability, protection from weather, depending on, you know, you got waterproof type. But
some of them are wet wader. I mean, some of them are made to wear wet.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, you can tromp through the rivers. If you're, you know, traversing rivers to go from one side to the other on the trail, they're designed to do that.
Yep.
So just make sure that you get the proper boots or trail shoes. And I'll caveat that by saying there are a lot of small retailers. I'm being one of them. I'm not trying to push the local hiker on anybody. But the people that we have in the shop are educated. And they are capable of putting the proper shoe on you for what it is you're doing. You can go into the big box stores or whatever it is, or go wherever it is you think you need to buy shoes at. But if you end up in the wrong shoe, you just basically threw your money out the window.
And our advice, time out in the,
that's
all
exactly
the
right. Our advice and our expertise is free of charge.
Okay,
right? We don't charge you for that. It's accompanied with the environment. So we provide you the proper gear and the proper education for what it is you're doing, because the last thing we want, and rolling on back to the beginning of the show, is safe. We want you to be safe, because if you're not safe and you can't enjoy the outdoors, we've created a bad experience for you, and you won't continue to go.
Sure.
And that's the last thing we want.
That's
we want
right.
everybody to enjoy the outdoors. So the more of us that are out there having a good time, the better off we all are.
Okay. All right.
All right. Socks. So socks are just as important, if not more important, in my opinion, than the shoes.
Okay.
Wool, a wool mix, is important. And I know everybody, you know, used to grab those standard cotton socks. The industry term, we all wear cotton. I've got it on. You've got it on. Everybody in the room's pretty much got some cotton on. But when it comes to a functional and capable environment like being in the outdoors, backpacking or hiking, the term is cotton is rotten, right?
Okay.
Simply because it doesn't really breathe well. It doesn't wick moisture away from your body. It holds on to the moisture. It's first thing you grab when you get out of the shower is a towel because it's going to grab all that moisture.
Sure.
So your shirt and your underwear and your pants are doing that. They're just sticking to you, which creates chafe points and, you know, rashes and blisters and all those things that you don't want while you're on a hike because it creates, once again, a bad experience.
Right.
So wool is a fantastic way to go when it goes to socks.
Does wool keep its warmth when it's wet?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Yep, most definitely. Wool's a hollow fiber, so it'll take the moisture right off of you, insulate you at the same time because it creates a little bit of an air barrier, keeps the moisture off of you, and then it wicks it away from your body. So it is the perfect, even base layer. I have wool base layer.
Sure.
And it's definitely the way to go.
It's not the scratchy wool you're thinking of, folks.
That's exactly right. Yeah, back in the day when Mom used to make us wear it in Sunday school, right? It was horrible, right? You couldn't wear enough T-shirts to keep that stuff off of you. It's nothing like that. There is actually wool-based underwear nowadays,
yep.
And it's just as comfortable, if not more comfortable, than a pair of cotton underwear.
Sure.
Yeah, it's
all
fantastic.
Right.
Map and compass / GPS, right? I say GPS kind of tongue-in-cheek. Once again, batteries, capability.
Signal,
all that other stuff. You know, having map and compass comes with another learning aspect or a capability aspect of you being in the woods. Know your trade. Start learning what it is you need and what you need to be capable to do to be out there to enjoy the environment. Learning how to do map compass actually isn't that bad. And there's
sure.
Land Nav course out at Cross State Park. Just another caveat to the shop. I know other shops do it. But we hold classes almost all year long, and they're free classes. One of them is usually map and compass,
okay.
How to utilize a map and compass. And we end up out at Cross State Park where there's a land nav course across the lake, and we'll walk them through several of the points, you know, how to shoot an azimuth, how to get there, how to you know, get your pace count, all those things affiliated with knowing how to navigate in the woods. You know, we kind of cover those, and it's important for you to know, right?
Sure.
Because
sure.
GPS doesn't always work.
That's right.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and jump up because we're going through this list, and I really haven't touched on all the goodies yet. So we'll talk about the footwear here real quick. I've got the footwear on. I'm wearing some Oboes. Oboes is just outside Bozeman, Montana. That's the name of the name of the game they gave it. Super comfortable, super capable, super structural shoes. Fantastic wear. I couldn't ask for anything better. Wool socks. Smart wool, darn tough, fits, super comfortable. Once again, very capable piece of equipment to have with you. Map and compass, where was my map at, is right here. And I just happened to bring we were talking about the Foothills Trail.
Right.
Excellent map. They have a little guidebook also if you're not going to use the map, but we'll get back to that when we come back.
All right. Hang on. We got goodies to play with. Back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side.
Inside your room, claiming victory. You're just using me, and there is no one you can use now. One thing is sure.
Well, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Tighten your laces because the last 12, 13 minutes of this show is going to be smoking.
Just hang on.
Hang on. Go ahead, Michael.
Everybody hang on. All right.
On.
So, you know, we were on map and compass, like I said. Know how to utilize it. Get the map for the area that you're going into. Start studying it. Know what you're getting into. It's important. Beyond that, extra water. So water's the heaviest thing you're going to carry, so you got to be careful there.
Okay.
Bring water with you, right? Always bring your Nalgene. A lot of these backpacks have a bladder in the back of them.
Oh, yeah.
And have it ready to go. And that's your start water, but have the ability to make water, making water either boiling or chemically treated water. Or have a filtration system capable,
sure.
right? That way you're filtering water and you're making water while you're out there. You refill your Nalgene, you refill your hydration bladder, whatever it is you're doing, but have the ability to either carry enough water, which I can assure you is probably the last thing you really want to do, have the ability to make water.
Katydin? Is that a Katydin system over there?
Nope.
What is that?
This is actually a trail shot. This is an MSR,
okay.
And this is a platypus.
Okay.
So that's a gravity-fed system.
All right.
And this is a quick trail shot pump system. As long as you're squeezing there, it's making water for you.
Nice.
So good emergency set of water. Of course, a plastic Mylar-type bag like a platypus or a Nalgene bottle, and then the bag that you carry in the back of your backpack. A lot of people may or may not use that. I love the bladder system.
I love the bladder system.
So, yep.
All right.
Extra food. I say extra food, but, you know, you're going to have, most people carry approximately 2 pounds of food a day, right?
Okay.
That's about where you're at. Your food should be about 2 pounds a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Always have a little bit of extra. Nature Valley granola bars are fantastic. They're good energy. You can kind of ration them out should things go south. A trail mix is always a good thing to have. Other than that, you kind of figure out what works for you.
Sure.
You know, once again, hike your hike. Rain gear, extra clothing. Rain gear, right? We talked about inclement weather.
Yeah.
We talked about things going south in South Carolina real
quick.
They
do in a hurry.
Yep. Extra clothing, right? I always have a thermal hat and a pair of gloves. It's always good to have like a neck gaiter.
Sure.
Right?
A little bit of buff.
Buff. Yep. So help keep some of the elements off of you, keep you warm if the weather should drop on you, temperature turns cold.
Rain gear, when you talk about rain gear, what you got?
Frog togs are good.
Okay.
Super lightweight, super compact. Other than that, I carry generally, I don't worry about my legs as much as I worry about my torso.
Upper body.
Right, because that's where my core temperature is maintained. So I just carry a lightweight, breathable rain jacket, you know.
Okay.
Marmot, Patagonia, something like that. They have fantastic rain shells, super lightweight, definitely defined for a backpacker.
Okay.
So it's good to go.
All right.
Safety. All right, so safety falls into several categories. You've got fire, light, and whistle. So fire, simple. Have a couple ways to make a fire. Bring a lighter, like a Bic lighter you can just pick up at a convenience store, and then have the ability to make fire beyond that, whether it's flint and stone or flint and steel, whatever it is you want to bring. Have the ability to make fire, but have two ways because one could fail. You have waterproof matches and a waterproof container, whatever it is, whatever floats your boat. You know,
some kind of starter.
Starter isn't bad. I have like this firelight right here. So it has these impregnated wicks inside of there.
Okay.
And then it has a spark thrower right there. So you kind of puff these up like a cotton ball. You throw the spark on there and it's impregnated. It starts the fire right there. So,
okay.
Whistle. So most of these Osprey backpacks, you can see, have a whistle built into it.
Right.
So the reason that is because should you get lost, should you get turned around, something's going wrong, a whistle uses a lot less energy, and the noise carries a lot further.
Okay.
So energy is an important thing to conserve. If you end up in a situation you don't want to be in, whistles are a fantastic thing to have.
Gotcha.
First aid kit. Always have a first aid kit.
Yep.
You know, if you have your buddy, make sure they've got their first aid kit. You shouldn't be using your first aid kit on your buddy, right? That first aid kit is definitively for you.
Okay.
Each person has their own, right?
Okay.
Now, you will use their first aid kit on them should they not have the capability to do so they get injured, but always have first aid kit.
And I see you got quick clot there.
I do have quick clot because things could go south quick, and that quick clot will
good stuff.
It'll bind up a severe bleeding wound rather quickly, right? So it's an impregnated cloth to stop bleeding. Bad bleeding, right? So that's a real bad bleed situation.
Okay.
So, knife or a multi-tool kind of goes without saying. Victory Knox, I had one sitting over here somewhere. There it is. Swiss Army, right? Everybody has those. Or a Leatherman or a Gerber, something like that.
Okay.
Has everything you need, right? Just in case. Sunscreen, sunglasses. So sunscreen goes into creams and or a long-sleeve shirt. Back to the buff gaiter.
Okay.
A hat. Anything that provides sun protection, right? You see a lot of these outdoor clothes nowadays are UPF or SPF 40 or whatever the case may be. That's sun protection, so that all falls into the same category. Sunglasses, right? I've got my coses on my head coming in here.
Same,
right?
Yep.
All right, down to the day pack backpack. So depending on what it is you're doing, depends the size of the pack, right? So a day pack only needs to be about 20 liters.
Okay.
A backpack, depending on how many nights you're going, you're looking at least 42 liters or greater, right? 42 liters, you can certainly survive a couple of days without any issue. And then beyond that, if you're going for a week or so, you're probably looking at 50 plus, you know, several days.
And those guys know what they need when it comes to that.
That's right. Yeah, do your homework. Do your homework. Go into the shops. They know what you need. They'll help you out. They'll talk you through whatever it is you need. And I know our MO with the local hiker is there's no need to sell you more than you need, because we don't want you to go out and go, man, he sold me all this stuff, or she sold me all this stuff, and I didn't need it. Kind of like the guy who left with 20 pairs of boots to go on a hiking
trip,
right? So it's just unnecessary. So that kind of covers the 10 essentials. I know that was a quick down and dirty, but, man, you could Google that and – It'll bring up list after list after list. So some people call it the 10 plus because, you know, people have added to it or subtracted from it. But you'll find what works for you. But there's a core group of individual items that I kind of went through real quick there. So,
all right.
I know we're running short of time, but let's talk about a couple of great hiking areas for families here in the upstate. We'll kind of touch into small children. You know, people want to get their kids outdoors. You know, there's equipment for small children. You can carry your small child, Osprey, Deuter. They both make backpacks to put your kid in and to put your equipment in.
Okay.
It's amazing. But Paris Mountain State Park, DuPont State
DuPont,
Forest, right across the border right there.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Conestee, Table Rock, Pleasant Ridge, and Pelham Mill. So all those areas have very well-established, well-marked trails, high-frequency area for folks. So you're not out there randomly walking with a small child. There's lots of people, usually in established environment, bathrooms or rangers or something available in an area. Some of the trails in those areas are actually stroller-friendly.
Oh, absolutely.
So if
DuPont being a prime example.
Yeah, you do your homework, and you'll find that some of those areas, not all of those that I just gave a list of, are stroller-friendly, but a few of them are. So, you know, if you don't feel like carrying your kid and you'd rather push your kid, then that's the way to go. Just do
stroller
it.
Or wagon.
Or a wagon.
Either one.
Yep. It'd be a long hike to drag a wagon, but, you know.
You do some things as parents you wouldn't normally think you could do.
Right, that's right. All right, so let's talk about hiking without the children.
Okay.
Right? So at some point, you know, your kids are grown or maybe, you know, you got they're over the grandparents.
Oh, absolutely.
And you and a buddy or you and the spouse, you're going to run out and do some hiking. Falls Creek Falls, Jones Gap. It's a short hike, less than a couple of miles, I believe, but the reward is awesome. So it's a little bit of elevation gain going up. It'll feel like it's killing you on the way there, but the reward is great.
And that's that ought to be in every hike. There ought to be a goal where the view or the end,
something,
the turnaround point is worth the walk.
That's when you reach that point, you're in awe of what you see. I agree with that. East Otowi Gorge, Pickens County area, Pinnacle Mountain out of Table Rock. Pinnacle Mountain is fantastic. And then, of course, Jumping Off Rock. If you haven't been to Jumping Off Rock, it overlooks the lake, Lake Jocassee.
Yes.
And it's within the gorges area. And it is, the view from up there is amazing. Like, you can overlook the whole lake. And this time of year, when all the leaves are the glorious colors that the good Lord provides, is an amazing view just to see. So that kind of wraps up a little bit of the hikes for the parents. Once again, do your research.
Sure.
Get a map. Know your capabilities. We would rather you be safe in the outdoors than not go at all. And if it takes a little bit extra preparation, once again, I know our shop is those guys are there to help you. And without a doubt, they'd spend an hour with you, and you don't have to buy a thing. They just want to know that you're going to go outdoors. They just want to know that you're going to do it safely. Because we know that we'll see you again. Because once we get you hooked, you're in, right?
Tell us a little bit about what you're going on.
Yeah, so the shop's got a ton of things going on always, right? It always seems that way. We do classes almost year-round. Like I said, they're free classes, anywhere from how to all the way to how to pick a sleeping bag for what it is you're doing.
Okay.
Map and compass. It doesn't matter. The list goes on and on. We change it pretty frequently. We do meet-up hikes, usually from about April time frame to October. The information is usually on our website or at the shop, www.thelocalhiker.com. So take a hike once again, November 17th.
Yes.
Just take a hike. Don't take that personally, folks. I'm just telling you to go take a hike. So once Black Friday coming up, don't forget to support your small shops
on
Black Friday. And then the real big deal is the day after that, which is Shop Small Saturday, which is an American Express-sponsored environment where they are encouraging folks to shop small. Use your American Express. I think they give you a credit back on your bill depending on how much you've spent.
Okay.
But that is usually one of our biggest days of the year because in the upstate, people love shopping small, and the local hiker and the other shops downtown Spartanburg definitely see the impact of that day for Spartanburg.
If somebody came in, and I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Yep. If somebody came in, they needed good boots or whatever, some good technical socks, a backpack with the essentials in it, maybe a hammock to enjoy when they get to a place, kind of. What are you going to have in something like that for just the beginner?
Yep, probably you're probably looking at, if you're just going to start doing day hiking, probably $350 to $500, okay, depending on what you buy.
Okay.
Right? Is a comfortable number. Some of the stuff we can help you and encourage you that you're going to have that stuff available in and around the house, so don't worry about it. Last event I want to talk about is Dickens of a Christmas downtown Spartanburg, okay, November 27th. We'll have live music in the shop. Backline Bluegrass is going to be there. It's fantastic. Those guys do an awesome job. We look forward to having them. They'll be playing from 6:30 to 8.
Okay.
And I think that
that's a show.
That was the down and dirty. Bam.
Look, you don't have to hike as fast as we did it here. In fact, we encourage you to take as much time as you can.
Yeah, take your time. Enjoy the environment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Michael, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'm glad we finally got this done.
Yeah, man.
And
I'll do it again in a heartbeat.
We'll do it again.
Yeah.
Except we'll break it up.
Yeah.
We'll have to do it.
Yeah, we'll do a segment.
Because there's so much stuff that you can do during the year. That's where we're going to go. All right. Next Saturday, go take a hike. And that's not being sarcastic. It's being for your health. Man, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera or the binoculars. Back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hit me from so high, 'cause I'm gone.